Hello, gentlemen. I am completely out of the loop.
Hello.
Welcome back.
What else is new, Stu?
Yeah. We have a symbol. I will probably hit that more than three times tonight, but I'll try not to make a thing of it. I'm happy to do the podcast again, and I'm really excited to hear what you guys have been doing and what's new, because I have no idea. So when the drums stop, I'm going to start with... I'm going to start with Gordon.
Okay.
Gordon's going to tell us all.
Everything?
Just everything. There's like a couple things going on. So I do know that Worlds is coming up very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are all going to Adepticon, right? All three of you?
No. I will actually not be going.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Gordon.
Yes.
He was my nominee. So tell me what you've been thinking. It's been like how long since you've been on the podcast?
I don't know. How long has it been?
Maybe 6 months.
No, wait.
Long. We did
one around December. Store Champs in December. So I forget. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, new stuff is coming out. There's a lot of strong stuff in there, but I still don't know.
Right.
If it's going to like take over.
This is the indoor stuff.
Exactly.
Indoor stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and people have been proxying it a lot, and there is good stuff in there, but it's not shifting the meta as hard as I thought it would be. There was a lot of potential I6s out there, and I thought we would be seeing a lot more I6s, but I feel like I5 is still like kind of the power peak.
Right.
I think there's definitely some standout I6s flown by the right people that will dominate.
I mean, I'd argue that I5 is still the power peak because only two factions got a ton more.
Well, that's I6s. A big part of it, too. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, what's your hot take on it?
I think indoor stuff is going to shake things up a lot. I don't think it should.
Is it legal for Worlds?
It is. Yeah. So the shipping date is in flux. It is supposed to land in stores in the United States this Friday.
Worlds is...
15th.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
That's cutting it so close. Yes. That's absurd.
Well, their original release date was the 8th. So it was like last Friday, right?
Uh-huh.
Still, honestly, too close.
Too close. Well, yeah. It should be at least a month, in my opinion.
They have... they made an announcement this last week that they're going to provide official proxies for anyone who is bringing indoor stuff. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring the proxy cards. You need to have base plates that match the initiative and pilot. Which would be interesting for pilots like
Gemmer,
who's
I2 A wing that doesn't exist for Rebels.
Yet. Yeah,
no, masking tape and a Sharpie can do tricks.
Yeah, right.
I think they are trying to do the right thing by the regions outside the United States that won't have the material.
Okay,
which is good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it sort of throws into question like why this was even. Going to be legal in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, they painted themselves in a corner. Yeah, like, I want to say in February, they were like, it will be legal for Worlds.
Right.
And then
everyone started planning and going from there and getting excited. And they can't be like, oh, never mind.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Go back to the old meta.
But but the solution, I think, is fair, given that they drew a hard line.
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
When I started reading the post, I thought it was going to say, and we will have copies available for sale, like, at the tournament. Like, if you're going to play this, you will have to buy it, like, in the moment, basically.
That would be, and like, be, like, ripping open the
plastic. Yeah, I was like, thanks, no thanks? Like,
that's a little tacky.
But no, they didn't. They did the better thing. They, you know, shout out for making it fair, you know, for allowing specifically their proxies.
So you think we'll see a lot of it?
I don't know if it's going to take over the meta, but it will be, there will be a noticeable presence, I think.
Who are the standout pilots?
How did it shake up your scum list, Joe?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, not at all.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's talk about what we think from it will be seen.
Okay, so the notable ships in Empire really, to me, is Jendin the Defender.
Mm-hmm.
Who can throw a 5-dice proton cannon.
Oh, and his I6, right?
I6, yeah. Mm-hmm. He can actually do all four of his actions.
If only defenders liked to go in straight lines. Weird, right?
Weird, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think Jendin's... He is good. He is, like, insanely good for one round. And then I think it's the follow-up where he starts to suffer because he can't keep doing all that at once. And he has to, like, burn a shield to do the proton cannon thing. Yeah. and he can only get that free reposition once. So
the games don't go very long.
No, though, right? It is true. And that's why he's
a hell of a jouster, is what you're really saying. Yes. But then what happens the other three rounds?
Right, right.
Well, the other three rounds, what you do is you take your Isix Suntorfell, who can reposition three times in a round.
Yeah, this is the new Suntorfell. Yeah.
Wow. And how does that work?
So you've got your system phase, red booster barrel. Then you've got your action, you know, your regular
action.
And then
the auto thrusters.
No, you don't get auto thrusters because you've got the system phase.
Ah.
With new Suntorfell, after he shoots, he can do a boost or barrel roll, not an action.
So you could like
so he can double barrel roll.
The image I saw was, you know, like he bumped, you know, range zero into somebody, took the range zero shot, and then boosted over them so that they did not get the return shot.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But I've heard he can't take shield or
right?
Because it's only three health.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you mess up, he pops.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
well, not necessarily.
I mean, he gets the one. Yeah, it's true because he has like a force for defense.
Yeah.
Does he still get his free focus?
He does not.
No.
Oh, okay. So that's gone.
Right.
So he is a little bit more of a glass cannon.
Yeah, but he's got a defensive reroll.
No, he gets like a defensive force. Where, like, once per round, he can change an eyeball to an evade. Yeah.
He also has recurring at-will false transponder codes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to lock him, you have to burn a lock. And maybe he doesn't jam it off because he knows he's not going to be in that ship's arc. And then your other ship that wants to lock him, if he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to take that at all. So in the hands of a very competent ace player...
Yeah.
He's going to be just brutal. But in the hands of most other people, he's free 5 points.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm coming from with, like, I don't think I'm too worried about it because it's only those top tier players that I think are going to dominate with it.
The ones that you'll be facing?
Anyway. So.
I don't know about that.
Gordon, can you bring your microphone a little closer to
your
mouth? Or if you're turning to Joe, just keep it in front of you. That's good. Awesome. Thank you. Well, that's an interesting ship. I've only flown Suntorfell once, but I did enjoy it. In fact, I've only flown Empire once. Fun fact.
You had Super Suntier.
Yeah, right? Jeff McLean let me borrow an Empire list, and I was like, wow, this is kind of dumb, weird, cool, murderous.
I think that's everything. Most of X-Wing these days.
Are there any I-6s from that? Or any of the non-I-6s, I mean, from the Empire? I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about the...
There's a cool bomber.
There's a bomber.
I can't remember what it's called.
Like, there are other ships.
There are.
Nothing else I've heard.
No, it's... So it's an I-3 bomber. I can't remember its designation. It's got some stupid name, like Scimitar 6 or something like that. Scythe 6. Online,
I believe
call
these are all
6.
The bedazzled names. So it's got to be like Sapphire...
That could be. So this guy rolls up at I-3.
Betamax 69.
When one of his friendlies performs an attack, he can gain a lock on whoever got attacked.
And he's an I-2.
And he's an I-3. Two or three. I think it's a three.
I think a three.
Yeah. So basically, you're going to get
you're
fully
locked.
Modded protorped against that guy
if he doesn't get blasted off the map.
Yeah.
He's
a bomber.
So that happens.
Right.
Yeah. All I know is if I see that, I'm
Mag
going for that
a missile.
Bomber. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You have a target there. You could focus fire your entire list at that bomber just to try and take him off before he can use his thing.
Yep.
And then what? There were some interceptors, but...
Those are the only three I remember.
They exist.
Did they bring back an A-Wing pilot that we'd never had?
Gemmer?
Gemmer is a thing?
Yeah, because I don't think he was... Was he in 1.0?
He was in... Or, I guess it must have been because
I know the name.
Yeah. I think it's in 1.0.
Okay,
yeah.
So they resurrected him,
and
he's good. I like him.
Do we have the Imperial shuttle yet as an official playing piece?
No.
When it comes out, will it have Chewbacca as a pilot?
Probably.
I don't think it will.
If you dial in a blue maneuver, will you remove all your stress, not just one stress, because you flew casually? Is that a thing?
I'm glad you hit your own symbol there, Steve. That's
someone
really
had to do
class.
It. I was
that's good.
I've been making that joke for 3 years.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they've kind of I mean, this is all anecdotal, but it doesn't seem like they're real confident on having material released after Worlds this year ever.
Oh, really?
We'll see.
Oh,
we'll
So let's talk corporate rumors. I remember you were...
Oh.
Yeah, so what's going on with AMG?
So there were some leaks from the playtesting group.
Right. I heard they all got fired or something.
And they did get fired.
Which was... Yeah. I mean, they screwed up. But.
Yeah. They leaked. They leaked the playtester assets for Battle of Endor. And the community was very excited about it. And apparently that's not a good thing. The leaking isn't the good thing. I'm not sure.
It's a violation of their NDA. They could get sued. That wasn't smart.
Nope. That was a pretty dumb thing to do.
But all playtesters have been fired, and they've now opened playtesting back up for some game. We don't know what. It could be X-Wing. It could be any of their other properties.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, from what I remember, the rumors, this is a while ago, they canceled all slated releases for X-Wing that they had previously announced. So like the Alpha Class Starwing is not.
Wasn't that like the only thing?
I think it is actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, one out of one has been canceled. 100% of future releases have been canceled.
Okay. Already limited supply.
All right. So that's itself a little annoying, but not terrible. Yeah. And so there was like a buyout of the corporation that happened or wasn't going to happen, right?
No. I mean,
that happened a while back.
Is that a rumor?
I mean, there's a consolidation.
They got reshuffled.
Like all over the place. Yeah. It's
as is normal in corporate America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, global corporate at this point, but.
Okay. And so the future of X-Wing is.
They
all three
still
of you
planning...
shrugged simultaneously. Yeah. Point that out.
They are still planning organized play. There are events in Europe that are already on the books. Tickets have already been sold for them. Several sources, I don't want to get too specific, who are involved with World Open Qualifiers in the United States have confirmed that there are plans for World Open Qualifiers in 2024 for Worlds 2025.
Okay.
So it seems like at the very least, organized play will persist for at least the next year, if not the foreseeable future.
But there are no X-Wing product releases scheduled at this time.
As far as anyone knows.
Okay. And the points update just happened?
Yeah, it was in service of the Battle Over Endor release.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say the full thing.
Yeah.
Why isn't it Battle of Endor?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Okay. So in service of the Battle Over Endor release.
It was on Endor too.
Right?
It's true.
Nub.
It's all around Endor. Like, we never stepped foot on Yavin. Just saying.
Well, I thought that's where the base was though, right?
Yavin 4.
Oh. Good call. Thank you, Gordon. Wow. Touche. Count your planets, mofo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so they did a points thing.
Yeah, they released the Endor stuff, and they nerfed a few things in the meta. Han being the biggest culprit. Jess Pava got nerfed.
Yeah. Oh, so sad.
I know. She's been a mainstay of Resistance players.
I mean, she's still totally playable and good. She was a Sphere, which before Battle Over Endor, I wouldn't have cared. But after, there's so much more target locking happening. So it is a shame to not have Ferrosphere anymore.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes her less desirable because she's going to get hit by those Protorps.
Yeah,
which is what
I3 and stuff.
She loves to shrug off like 2 and 3 die attacks.
Right.
Yep. But
getting
a problem.
Tool. Yeah.
That'll do it. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting. And then with Han Bastan, Connor was telling me that the new thing is Han Lando, which I've always wanted to play anyway. And if I come back and roll dice again, which I'm considering next week, no promises. It will be a Han Lando.
Nice.
That'll be fun because then you can re-roll Lando's dice, you know, right?
Totally.
Pancakes always come in pairs better.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel it's thematic and it's fun and I like the big base. So
you get the third small pancake and you get like a Mickey Mouse kind of thing going on. And like...
mm-hmm. So you're not going to go, David, but you got your ticket. So what happens? Does that get donated back to the pool and given away at the LCQ or do they care or what?
Confusing at this point.
Yeah. They'll just be like, who? What?
I think Tim was saying I could maybe like transfer my badge or something, but I haven't tried to figure that out. I don't think that
That's more of an Adepticon thing than it
right,
is an
that's, FMG yeah,
thing.
That's, right.
And in my experience, I went to Adepticon 3 times. Been a while. It's been a few years, but they're pretty good with their customer service. So you may just want to send them an email and see what they say.
It's worth a shot.
Sure.
Yeah, they've been doing that thing for a long time at the same convention hall, so they've pretty much got it down to a science.
Nice. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to going.
Yeah.
No, it's, I'm sad it's you neat. Won't be there.
Yeah, it's big. I feel like Schaumburg is like... It's not even really Chicago. It just feels like a...
It's just a...
That's what everyone says. Every time we talk about where it is, everyone's like, it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, it's just like a big field with a bunch of...
Chicago exists as a feeling somewhere off in the distance.
It's huge.
It's a suburb. I mean,
it's more than a suburb. It feels just like going to distant Hillsboro amongst like the office parks and the wafer fabs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way out there.
It is, but like, so is Hillsboro. Like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if
very
you live,
spread out.
It's like if you live in LA and people talk about going out to like Estacada and stuff. Estacada is around here. To
Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, but like, anyway, the whole like Inland Empire area.
That's
like
what I was thinking
actually
about.
Actually 3 hours away from LA, but it's still like quote unquote LA area. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Got it. Okay. So you're not going to make it, but you two are. And what are you flying? Joe first.
Same old scum.
Same old scum.
Can't find. Although,
we don't know what the same old. Tell me.
All right.
And also, are you holding yourself to only flying scum? Is that part of your decision?
Well, to be honest, I'm actually pretty lately. In the Nickel City Draft League, I got drafted into First Order, and I didn't get drafted. I subbed into First Order. Anyway, I've fallen in love with the LVO Doug Howe Kylo and the Silencer.
Yeah. It's
which
solid.
It's you're just really printing good. Hits. Like,
it's 7 points.
That's a
feature, not a bug.
Yeah,
that's seven points.
Your
opponent's not going to get.
Right, you're hiding it, but I don't know.
Yeah. So it's okay. So it's instinctive aim, lone wolf, advanced optics, and proton torpedoes.
7 point silencer Kylo.
Kylo. So. Basically what you do, you don't worry about target locking anyone.
Okay.
You just focus every time.
You just focus every time. And then your average roll is going to be, you know, 3 paint and a blank.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just spend your force on the eyeballs and then spend your focus on the blank. And then you've got 4 hits.
Or do your re-roll and maybe you get all paint and then you just spend the focus on the focus.
It's
good.
Very consistent.
But if you just fly blackout with proton torpedoes and
plan your obstacle placement years in advance, and your opponent doesn't know what you're doing, then it's the same thing.
Well, if you do it well, even if they know what you're doing,
it's true, David. You've gotten me plenty of times still with that.
It still
like
works.
See it coming,
and everybody here knows it's going to happen.
It still happens. And Gordon, what do you find?
Probably 5 T-70s.
Wow.
Just going back to that.
And which pilots?
Even though they came for your ferrosphere paint?
Before. Yeah.
Well, they ban it or they just kicked it off?
No, they
didn't. Mods lots.
No, they didn't. Yeah,
they changed the loadout
out
points.
On Jess.
Ah.
And that was the only thing affected. On
so what's
list.
Her droid then?
R2-D2. Nice. So you have 4 charges on the droid itself, so she can do way more rerolls or recharge a shield.
Yeah.
So
that helps.
Yeah.
And she's four points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And they all are.
The other ones were like Zori and one of the Y-Wings.
I'm not doing Zori anymore. I don't like Zori. Like she always forces me to like be too slow and try and stick around with her and time like the actions I'm giving her.
That's too much thinking.
It is. I was trying to think too. Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with
I just
you.
Like kind of splitting apart and like being more
coming back together,
I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think you fly it well too. I think I'm not recommending going to either like the A's or the
Yeah, and the that's Y-Wing I was there. Doing Lulo for a little while instead of one of them. But Lulo also got hit down a few points in the last points change. And I don't remember how many points, but it was enough where it's like, because now I think it's like only shield and heroic. Oh, I think it also dropped ferrosphere.
Right.
And that was just kind of a deal breaker for a...
How many points is heroic now? 2?
2, yeah. Yeah.
Still worth it.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an auto-include.
Yeah.
At 1 it was.
Oh, yeah, 1 definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best passive upgrades in the whole game. It's just so much fun, yeah. Right?
I always miss it when I don't have it in roll two blanks.
It's one of those like feel good moments. I forget all the words for it in game theory design, mm-hmm. but it's like,
right. I was gonna say the fact that it like nullifies your worst result.
And even like if you roll double blanks again after you get to heroic, you're not even mad because it just you know
because you got to heroic.
Yeah, you got to heroic, and so that in itself is a reward. And then if you double blank, then you're just like, well. Yeah, fuck nothing, me then. At least that
chance. Yeah. I guess it was just fated to right. happen.
Yeah, there's no losing on that one.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's pretty fun.
70s.
So how about you tell me about your fundraiser tournament that you ran, Joe?
Last month. Our local Gray Sky Squadron trying to make that a thing.
Is that the advertisement you wanted to make, Gordon? Gray Sky Squadron?
We're doing ads.
Oh no, sorry.
You were joking about advertising? Is that your roofing service you wanted to advertise?
For a good time. Tax preparation. Call.
Yeah. No, I'd love to. I would love to make gear. Like, it would have been great to do it for Worlds, but I think none of us really wanted to go through the effort of doing that.
It's not too late. You can get t-shirts made in days.
It turns out folks that play out of Portland are kind of like herding cats to try and get them all on the same.
Yeah, you guys don't even have a logo on your Discord channel last time I checked.
We don't. Someone was working on a logo.
Oh, I know. I mean, hey, someone else can take it. I mean, it's done. Let's do something with it.
Yeah. At the brew pub.
That's what I'm like. Here, I did this. Someone else take it from here.
So tell me more. What is Gray Squadron?
Gray Sky. Just a local group.
Yeah, just a local group. Just trying to make a concerted effort to improve one another as pilots to kind of, bring the competitive edge to whatever events we end up going to.
Yeah, it's like we got the local game store server, but it was sort of like for people, like for the tryhards that want to try hard. Like,
yeah, sure. And not to mention you're not supposed to trade actual pieces on the game store server.
And I mean, not that this is like the most important thing, but the game store has the parental filters or whatever, like the non-swearing.
So we wanted a place to curse on the
internet. These are all legitimate reasons to form a game club.
Friendly, like
completely legit. Good.
I mean, and children are welcome to swear also. Like, it's...
Sure. Many do, whether we want them to or not.
As long as they know the rules.
Yeah.
So I got the idea from several of my friends over in the UK who will host various events to raise money to get themselves to Worlds or whatever event they're going to. And I thought, well, let's give it a try here. This is the first tournament I've run. And so I tried to cobble together a little bit of prize support, put up some homemade, brass and copper tokens that looked pretty cool. Stress tokens.
He's underselling them. Have you seen them still?
They were quite cool, actually.
Have I seen them?
Yeah. They're such a satisfying,
they're heavy.
Like this, like.
Yeah, they've got a really good weight to them.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's like different, like, finishes on the metal, I guess. Yeah, so they just reflect differently at all.
Stu, you will appreciate this reference. Do you know that, like, sort of visceral feel of, like, putting your quarter on the arcade box?
Absolutely.
That, like, click? It's like, that's how these stress tokens feel. You're just like...
Ka-chink. Okay.
You're like, I stressed myself.
I mean, I guess it's like maybe. Maybe that's not quite the same. But
does it have a button to push when you get stuck and you have to call the attendant?
There's a lot more, it's more definitive than those crappy little cardboard ones.
Right. Yeah,
definitely.
So, there was a number of prizes that I put out, and we did a Fangs Out format.
Okay.
So it's a 60-minute game. Instead of the typical 75, and
I loved that, by the way. I wish all of our tournaments were Fangs Out tournaments. Yeah.
It's I don't know that I noticed that much of a difference. No, in my you own don't.
It just keeps things moving so much faster, and like
it cuts down on the amount of hemming and hawing some people can do when they're like on those key turns.
Like me,
like, it felt a little. I mean, and not complaining, but it feels a little targeted at like. Certain players.
Some more than others. I mean, I found myself a couple times on those hard turns being like, oh shit, I gotta just make a choice.
Yeah.
But I like that element of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've only got 2 minutes to set your dials.
Wow.
And you are not allowed to set them like during combat or something like that.
Okay.
So you have to
leave your dials face up on your pilot card.
Yeah. You're only manipulating them during the planning phase. You've got 2 minutes. And if your dial isn't set and face down at the end of 2 minutes, you do a two straight.
Wow.
That's it. Other than that, all the regular rules apply.
Okay.
It is a really fun format. I've only played it a
Who
couple times.
Who sets the 2-minute timer? The players?
I left it up to the players.
That was sort of the only downside in my mind, was like you had to have an iPhone timer, well, or any phone timer.
One or both of the players has to remind themselves to do it.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't think it was.
Somebody had a chess clock, bad. Which I actually thought was like kind of clever.
I like the idea of a chess clock, and it might be something that we can invest in, because we ended up getting a lot of great donations. So the way that I worked out with the store is folks paid an entry fee to the store to secure their spot in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 16-person cap, and we didn't quite meet that. But that's fine. And then if they wanted to be eligible for prizes, they needed to donate to me, to the prize fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept track of that. Everyone got a participation prize of one of the stress tokens. And then we did the something that we've done at the store a lot, where first place picks, and then, or they can pass it on, you know, they can decline, and then that just rolls down. And that went over really well. We ended up making a good amount of money. And the whole idea behind it is to help any Portland players that want to go to Worlds, but, you know, are pinching pennies to get there, to help them get there. And if no one takes me up on that, if everyone's got it all figured out, then we're going to have a big squad dinner.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Like at the next tournament or just in
general? At Worlds.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, go to Giordano's or some of the, you know, what was everybody wants Italian beef, was it?
Yeah.
There's Italian only like sandwiches. Four restaurants within driving distance of the convention
center.
Well,
I mean, you can go into Chicago, though.
Like, oh, of course. You can always go into Chicago. Yeah. But
I guess I take this for granted because I lived around there growing up, but like, everything is an hour away in Chicago. It like kind of doesn't matter how far it is, really.
Right.
Like even if you're actually in Chicago, it's still an hour to get somewhere else in Chicago. So like,
and if you're out in the burbs or in the rural area, just, it's still an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not, I say it's not that far or to like drive into the city, but it is like an hour to actually go anywhere that you'd want to go, but you can do that.
Yeah. So details are still up in the air. I need to actually probably work on that this week and figure that out. But yeah, it was a great event. It was really fun. It was my first time TOing, and I put way too much stress on myself. It was way easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally easy.
And
welcome to the club, Joe. It's, it turns out once you've done it once, you're like, oh, I can do that. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
We have a good crew too. I mean, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, like the things you worry about, the like, oh, I'm going to have some problematic player, or, you know, I'm going to have some like argument I'll have to adjudicate, or it's like that almost never happens with our crew. Like,
I've never seen
good.
It happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's cool. I'm glad it went well. And how many gray sky squadron pilots do you have?
The gray squad.
Gray squad.
In the
going
group?
To Worlds or in the group? I don't even know.
That's a good question. I actually haven't bothered to count. We've got quite a few in the server.
Yeah, it's a growing. I mean, it's a lot of the.
It's all Portland, you know, and Portland Metro nearby Washington side folks and stuff.
Yep. Cool. And I think the world's crew that I know of is 6 or 7 people.
Yeah.
I have to try to remember now that I'm not one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. There's got to be more drama in the X-Wing community right now.
Well, I think no one knows. Like, everyone knows, like, okay, nothing's happening, but they haven't, like, announced anything.
Okay.
Like, they did with Armada, where they were like, we're sunsetting Armada. It's still going to be around. We're still going to have some element of OP, but we're not releasing new product for Armada. That was, like, an official thing that
they
came out.
They specifically said that.
Got it.
But they have not specifically said that for X-Wing.
Worlds, and I'm curious, I feel like at Worlds, they either need to say something or not, and that's kind of their opportunity, too.
Yeah, or like, or I mean, say you, one you way would or the think other so. Way, I mean.
Yeah,
you would think so.
Yeah, they don't, but they've proven they don't need to. Yeah.
But they've got,
they don't feel like they're under
Worlds.
Any obligation.
Exactly.
Atomic Mass Games is doing a panel at Worlds, and it specifically says we're talking about these games,
and
X-Wing isn't one of them.
On there, right.
So they might not say anything official.
Right, I think they've taken a... I think what the enthusiasm of the community has bought us is, well, I guess we'll like let you guys continue. Like, we're still not going to put any real effort or thought into it beyond kind of the the minimum to keep
the maintenance.
Yeah, keep stuff on, keep it existing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still clearly not their focus area. Like it's not.
They're doing Shatterpoint and whatever other game.
Marvel Crisis Protocol. Yeah. And
Tim was saying Legion is still going well.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, but the numbers of Legion players is just tiny compared to X-Wing. It befuddles
buying more products.
Yeah, don't you have to buy more products?
I was
going to
say, I think they look at sales.
They have more product coming out, and people are the people who are playing Legion are buying it. So.
I see.
And it turns out when you only make product that goes to 2 of 7 factions, you're alienating like a lot of your player base from purchasing anything worthwhile. Like,
yeah, there's nothing only cardboard for the most part, and it's
right.
Like,
there's just not a lot of product to make anymore. Right.
Yeah, they've kind of worked through their backlog, and
And there, the one thing that I think is really interesting, if you take a look at the Lando Falcon that's in Battle Over Endor, there is so much stuff crammed on that one card. It's like, I pity the person that takes that to Worlds, because after 2 games, you're not going to remember half of those triggers,
many triggers and things you have to remember.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you play it, 50 times, you eventually just get all of it down, but
it's still a lot.
Who could have done that in the short amount of time since Lando came out before Worlds?
People who play online a lot.
Yeah, I guess so. Are you guys playing a lot online, Gordon?
No.
Joe?
I rejoined the Nickel City League. And
is that Pittsburgh?
Buffalo.
Okay, sorry.
I won't tell them that you said that.
Yeah. They're vicious.
They're very passionate.
Pittsburgh's the Steel City.
Yeah, so this is...
I didn't know that either.
Season 5 of Nickel City, and they've got like 160 players. It's the largest league in X-Wing.
Wow. Not necessarily from Buffalo, but
it's worldwide. Like
exactly,
we've got
exactly.
I just played a league game against a guy in France. We've got it's gone global.
That's awesome.
It's great.
Why? Just because it's well run and cool people.
Yeah.
It's Greg. I'm not going to pretend to pronounce his last name. His name's Greg. He's a great guy. He loves fantasy sports and like crunching the numbers for all that sort of thing. And so he has done just a ton of work in putting together the way that the league runs on like different conferences and divisions.
There you go.
And you've got home and away teams. So
a leader at work.
Team league. Yeah. Oh man, it's fantastic. And he's done a really good job at managing the community as well. There's no cost to join, but people still, some people take it too seriously. Like that'll happen. Some people don't take it seriously at all, and that'll happen too. But most people genuinely like form some sort of bond with their team, and they don't want to let their teammates down. But they also know their teammates got their back if they do lose. Right, because it's a best-of-7 series, so it's just a great experience for you to have a small community of people that are interested in making you better, and you know, and vice versa. And so you get some really good discussions. With your teammates on list building and tactics and different opportunities like that. And it's a really great experience.
Cool. I heard someone say, I forget who. If you see a team that people are joining and rooting for, I'll show you a leader at work. And there's Greg, right?
Yeah.
Doing all that stuff and not charging anybody and whatever.
That's cool. How many games in are you?
I am 2 games in.
Oh, okay.
The season just started. Yeah.
And do you switch your list every time? What's the
format? You're locked into a faction.
Okay.
You can halfway through the season, your team can elect to switch factions, which it's an all or nothing thing. So everyone has to play a different faction.
I kind of like that.
It's really well.
And not the same faction.
Right.
But you all shuffle.
No one could switch. We could switch,
if we wanted.
Everyone else has to switch too. They have to pick new stuff too. No one gets to keep the same faction that they had.
That's cool.
Or everyone keeps it for the remainder. And then you can switch your list every time. You know, going into your match, what the scenario is and what your opponent's faction is.
Okay. That's cool.
And so that's that's the amount of knowledge that you have going in.
Yeah, that's fine.
If someone has a certain reputation You know, you might build against that reputation, right? Right? Totally. Oh, this person's an ace player.
Yeah, you might assume that Joe is going to bring Bosk.
Yeah.
For a very, very long time, although I guess that's...
Yeah, not so much anymore. Well,
I guess you bring the Z nowadays.
Well, but... that's only because I can't...
You are still taking...
Can't make the math Z95 work in any better way.
No, it's... Yeah. Two-point filler, but...
Yeah.
But, is your list still the same as before?
What's that?
My
scum list? Yeah, it's still the same. Although, I don't know. I love Fen Rao when he does Fen Rao things, but I'm really falling out of favor with the list. I think Decimators are going to be really big at Worlds.
Wow. That's a little Decimators, especially with the auto damage from Vader.
If I have the perfect engage, my list can kill a Decimator in one round.
Whoa.
And
perfect happens how often, Joe?
Well, that's with average dice.
Okay,
but it's set up.
The position.
Yeah, but with
the
position. Yeah,
that's the thing. And it's not easy. It's not easy.
Getting all the range bands just right.
Yeah.
In the arcs you need to be.
Yeah, the biggest one is like bumping things.
And you got to get Tarok in there, right, to like strip off the reinforce.
That's what I was going to say. You do still have that option. It's funny, and this is not just you, Joe, or your list, but it's somebody who runs so much jam in my list, and that's just like always a feature of my list. It's like, it's still just funny to hear people talk about like, Decimators are like such a pain in the, you know, like,
not if you jam
them. Are they like, oh, because they have a reinforce. Oh, I guess when you fight them, do have a reinforce.
No, like, it's like, I mean, yeah,
no one
for
needs
most
green
people,
tokens when I play.
Most people, yeah, but for me, the issue is Vader.
Just, yeah.
Right? Because if I get, you know, one of my fangs Vadered, right, and they don't have a token, like that's 25% of their health that I couldn't even defend against, right?
Do you just take the hit
when it happens? I mean, typically I don't have a token when they choose to do it. So
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a free advertisement for Utini.
Yes, Louis Leon.
Yeah, his name is Louis. He's in the UK, I believe. He goes by Utini, O-O-T-I-N-I. I forget. Probably find some him on a bunch of servers, and he prints metal stuff, including the metal objective markers, and then these dope ass Beskar power tokens.
Those are so cool.
Yeah, and I got some for our league, and then Tim got some for the Legion people, and they're about an inch and a half long, and they have a kind of a glittery charge symbol on one side, and then the other side is the Empire symbol, or you can get a Rebel symbol, and it looks like a Beskar ingot. Like the currency that they handed out in The Mandalorian when they delivered it, and Werner Herzog played the guy.
It's like, that's right.
Do you have the package? Is that a good impression?
No, that was great.
An 80-year-old German man?
Yeah.
Show me the package.
I was right back there.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And Louis, then they open the case, and it's like, and the Beskar ingots are in there. They're not that big, obviously, but nice paperweights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great for any Star Wars fan, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're $6 each or $5 each. So they're not cheap, but they're cool.
I hope they have some of those sparkly dice at Worlds, the recent ones.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Worlds.
Yeah, let's talk about Worlds swapping swag. Trading t-shirts.
So first I want to talk about...
Are you going to have your pastel polo shirts?
Yeah,
I'm going to. I hope the rest of
the rest of the J crew coming? Is Obi-Wan coming?
Yep, they're all coming.
Yeah, did Obi-Wan already get his card? Or is he LCQing?
No, I think he's LCQing it.
Okay.
Yeah, which is going to be rough because this year it's going to be a lot more restricted.
It is.
At LCQ.
Yeah, maybe it was like 40% of the people last time.
I was going to say, I'll slide him an ID.
Juan Donchek.
you do look very similar.
Yeah.
Indistinguishable, really.
So are you going to wear the pastel polo shirts?
Okay, yeah.
Good. Yeah. At least one day.
Yes, at least one day.
And so is Jordan and Jim.
Jordan and Jim.
Yeah,
anyone's welcome. Really, it's
that's right.
To join.
It's true.
Just have to play X-Wing and have a name that starts with a J,
or pretend your name starts with a J.
Change your name to a name that starts with a J. Yeah.
If you play Jendon, you can play anything. Really?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. We got a low bar.
All right,
but yeah, what are prizes at Worlds?
They haven't shown any images, but they've given a list of alt art cards, dice, print, art prints, okay, mats, some sort of like something they call a bumper.
They're going to do like the kind of like bumper prize wall thing.
Right? It's a prize wall. Yeah. So there's not actually like tiered prizes for how well you do.
Not even for like top eight or anything.
No.
Although, I mean, I think you get more tickets for winning games.
You get one more ticket for winning a game than you do
that's
for
something, but but if it's like any other years, the way to just rack up tickets is to do the side events.
Yeah,
just,
that's what I always
I mean, all of the language that they've released says that you can only get a max of like 25 to 30 tickets per day.
I'll be curious how they enforce that, but
yeah. And like some of their prize wall items, they've got listed for like 150 tickets. Like you can't actually do that in the course of
you'd have to pool Adepticon tickets. Yeah, you'd have to
pool
it
together, I guess, or do one of those other things. Yeah.
Something.
But there's a lot of speculation about the dice, whether or not they're going to be the sparkly unicorn dice that we've seen at Chile first, and then in Germany, and then LVO. Or are they going to be brand new dice?
I like the sparkly dice.
You know, I think back in the day, you know, it was like this mystery grab bag of
They did that last year.
All of the above. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like they did that cool last year. They did that back in what did we go see? Was that 2019?
Yes.
I thought that was fun. You got like however many tickets for like three random dice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We generally had a blast at that trip. That was pretty cool.
I was kind of kicking myself last year because I didn't realize that's what the deal was with the dice. I was like, I don't want some random black bag. And then by the time I understood what was going on, all of them were gone.
Got it.
Yeah, you've got a nice collection of dice, and so does Jeff. No, John. John Witherspoon has a really nice collection of dice, too. Yeah. He's got a bunch.
Assortment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, are you going to bring stuff to trade? Like all of your little tokens? And you're going to bring Beskar ingots? You're going to bring...
I only have two Beskar ingots, and I'm holding on to those.
I only have one.
White-knuckled. but I am going to make some more tokens. I've got another batch to make. I owe David and Andy some tokens because... I realized after our fundraiser tournament that I was like, I don't have any to take to Europe with me. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, you can get us back later, and gave me some tokens. I was like, all right, cool. I appreciate that. So I've already got some that are already spoken for. I've got another batch of blanks sitting at home that I've got to get to work on and get those put together. So I'll take those to trade, and then we'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
Nice.
I will say, I want to plug Onyx Squadron out of Australia. Ooh. Has these beautiful cards that they've put together. They're alt art cards. They've got like a black background. Almost all of them are portraits as far as I know. Really well drawn. And some of them are like foiled. Mm. Some of them are like hyper foiled. They look amazing. They're super sexy. So I'm going to be on the lookout for those as well.
Okay, cool.
Nice. They had a couple, yeah, they had a couple of STO.
Bling out my squadron. That's
Someone made some cards that had Empire Pilots. Merrick Steele came to mind that looked like a box top from the 80s. You know, like a G.I. Joe stat card with a little dotted line.
Like
a little file folder kind of thing.
Nice.
I thought those were so cool. I should have picked them up. I don't know where they've gone now, but a lot of people have come up with such cool ideas for those alt arts. That was one of the best things about Worlds was just trading stuff with people who came back with a huge stack of shit.
Yeah, I have a bag of like acrylic templates that I've gotten throughout the years. I might just like bring that with me.
Yeah, you should, because a lot of them are probably from the old days that people don't even know
about. Totally.
Yeah.
2014 people, like, regionals and stuff. Straight.
You got a three
regionals,
three
2015.
People would be like,
"What's a regional? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's legit. It measures right. You can use it."
Yeah.
That's good.
Back in my day, we'd have 120 people at my regional.
What else is going on that I need to know about and the world needs to know?
I want to give a shout out to the Sith Takers who just did the Sith Taker Open. I went over there and had a great time.
Yeah, you spent some
time. How was it run?
In Manchester.
Just outside of Manchester in a place called Stockport, which is a British former industry town. Yeah, I didn't get to see a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was either drinking or in the game shop.
Awesome.
Or drinking in the game shop.
Do they have a big game shops like we
It was huge. Okay. It was so huge. So they used to have like all of these mills, like woolen mills and things like that.
Right.
Right.
And those industries don't exist anymore. So they've just got all these buildings.
Right.
And it's like, what do we do with all this space? And so I guess they rent out for pretty cheap.
Yeah, sort of the equivalent of our warehouse districts.
Essentially, yeah. 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 Yeah, so they had a ton of space. There was 120 tickets. They only had like 113 people show up. 132 tickets. But yeah, it was
only 113 people. Massive.
I guess. Yeah, that's it was still huge. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were players, I think, from Spain, France, Germany, obviously Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales. I'm not sure.
Portland.
Yeah. From
a
yeah,
couple I was, Americans at least.
I was representing. No, all the other Americans couldn't make it, so I was the only one.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And they didn't give me a special prize for it. I was a little bummed.
Yeah, but. Right?
I think, I feel like only American.
I came all this way.
I don't know. I don't remember ever going to
Europe. That would
be
an American thing to do.
I get a special prize for being American.
But isn't that an American thing to do? Like, I'm here, so don't I get something?
I got some hugs and I got some drinks.
Yeah, don't I just get appreciation for you guys? Like, come on, we won the war for you.
I don't know that I'd say that to the face.
How many decades until that doesn't work?
Yeah.
But no, it was a really well-run event. Their Sunday side event was really interesting. They had two Sunday side events. One of them was really interesting. I didn't play it. I wussed out and played the other one. So it was you have 10 points for your list.
Okay.
It can be small bases, two small bases only.
Okay.
I think you can probably open that up, but I would need to play a little bit more. You play on a mat that is one range increment on each side smaller.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Okay, so inch and a half or something like that, or
it's both. So it's like
inches around the whole thing.
So it's like one around the whole thing. Yeah. And then you do two obstacles.
Okay.
Per person
or each
per person. So four total. Yeah. And then you set up as a like within the range one band.
Yeah. Interesting.
And a lot of people that played said it was very much like the end game.
Yeah,
like you're just starting
you're
just in the
circling
end game.
Each other and like...
yeah. I think they also outlawed ion, certain ion things.
Interesting. But, I kind of like that. It takes off that like I have to perfect my joust because it's win or lose here.
Yeah,
I have been long theorizing that it would be really fun to not just have these built-in scenarios where you earn points and there's different ways to get your objectives, but to have different setups. So that would be a cool setup.
Or like different point totals instead of like...
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can start not within range one, but range two. Mm-hmm. So it's a closer setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then another way to do it would be...
Like game modes, essentially.
You could start within range two of a corner. So you play diagonally across at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So each person gets a corner and range two within that corner. So that's your deployment zone. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like mm-hmm. a further away engagement, diagonal style.
Yeah.
And it would just kind of mix up the way that people have planned out
their
engagements
and think
about their openings.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You don't need like seven different scenarios. You could just have three possible, normal, close, and like diagonal far away.
Yeah.
That's and so what did you end up doing if you didn't do that side?
So I did, they had an extended event.
Cool.
And, so I took out, I'm blanking.
Guri?
I used Guri in place of, Lima Kai and, Dirge.
Oh, okay.
So it's two fangs, Guri and, Bosk in the Z95.
Nice. It sounds fun.
It was really fun. It was a really good time. In retrospect, I probably should have taken out Old T and Bosk in place of Guri.
Oh yeah, That's a good point.
But yeah, it was still it was super fun.
Nice.
I went 2-1 in that. In the main event, I went 3-2.
Yeah.
Dale Cromwell was flying new Suntir and the new bomber, and we had a really close game.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Nice.
And then my second loss was Darren Granger. I was flying FO, just five ship FO. And that was, a really close game.
Winning record for Americans at this tournament. Well done.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. I felt okay. I saw I was up against Dale Cromwell, second round, and I was like,
Is he coming to Worlds?
He is coming to Worlds.
You got to play with the nameplates off, man.
Like, I know, I know. Yeah, I mean, no he was delightful, though. I mean, he was just joking, and we were having a good time. I mean, it was amazing. It was really fun. Nice. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Cool. So overall, the event was just super well run. If you didn't think about the conversion. Currency conversion, the drinks were reasonably priced. Because everything's in British pounds there.
Right. Well, so it's like £5. And you're like, that's not bad.
£4 a beer.
Okay. Times 1.6. I mean, what is the conversion?
Not bad, right?
Actually, the conversion rate is pretty favorable to the US dollar right now, isn't it? Right?
Well,
comparatively. Relatively speaking.
Yeah, one time I went, it was almost 2 to 1.
It has been.
Yeah. Double dollars, I called them when I went one time.
Anytime.
It was like 1.81 or something.
Yeah, the whole time I've ever been in a position to go, it was close to 2 to 1.
So it wasn't quite that bad while I was there, but it was really fun. It was a great time. Everyone was super friendly. People coming up and just, hey Joe, how's it going, you know? And nice. All these people that I've only seen as like text scrolling on the screen, right. I finally got to put, you know, faces to the names, and it was really cool to see that and just to be just immediately welcomed like that. Was
very cool.
That's very what I'm looking forward to in Chicago.
Yeah.
My first time going to Adepticon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the last time I went to Worlds, it was still in FFG. Okay.
Do you have any other board games or anything, or like miniatures games that you're interested in?
Not really, but I would pick up a new one.
It's something to think about in the next 2 weeks, because one time I went and they had these weird, I don't play 40K anymore, but they had these weird events where it's like you just bring a super small list of 40K, like two squads of troops and one vehicle, and then you'd play a game and it would last like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and it was really fun.
I mean, squad based stuff is all the rage these days for everything.
And if there was ever a time to get acquainted with some of those games or play one with people who know what they're doing, Adepticon is it. And it's easy to pack it in your luggage, and you might as well, because there's a fair amount of downtime, and I find myself at those big conventions just kind of wandering tables and being like, no, I don't want to do a demo. No, I don't want to buy all this paint and haul it back to Portland. You know,
I mean, true, but I might say that's some of the best ways to try out some of these games.
Sure.
Like, because they will also, I mean, you're not wrong, Steve. Like you say, we just bring like small versions of these games essentially, but like they have demo tables set up too.
Oh, a lot of them.
Like you can play a small version of the game.
Everyone's trying to introduce you to their new thing that they did on their 3D printer, basically.
Yeah, and it's I mean, especially the bigger ones like that, I have kind of the same rule that I have with like restaurants, you know, which is like some of them are the well-known ones, they're gonna have long lines, but like, don't wait in line. Like, there's so many good game designs out there.
Yes.
Just go find the ones where nobody's waiting at the table, and like, you can discover some real gems that way, I've found.
Is Wade going to be showing off?
Is going to be. So, last year, Wade Pache, who used to do organized play for FFG, X-Wing, he started his own game company, and he released a game called Aerodome.
Oh, cool. I'd like to play it again sometime.
Last year, he had some demos and did some like tournaments where you got to keep the.
It's like sci-fi aerial combat kind of.
He's got like his game finally released. He's shipping out like all the backer kits and Kickstarter kits right now, and he's running two tournaments. I think he's gonna have a booth. I'm sure they're gonna be talking about that. He's got two other games he's talking about. Cool. I was looking at the Adepticon events, and like the Sunday tournament's like already sold out. It's like, oh, of course, all the X-Men players are going to be
out. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. All the people who have.
Yeah. And then there's another one on like, I'm not sure if it's Friday or Saturday, but when I checked, it was still open, but I was like, man, I don't know if I can tear myself away from X-Wing.
We'll just see how you're doing.
Exactly. But Aerodome's super fun. I think we should get a game in sometime because I've got my kit.
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I liked it too, actually. I'd say it's maybe slightly higher barrier to entry if you're coming from X-Wing.
I played it once.
Yeah, if you're thinking about, for the folks who haven't, if you're thinking about like X-Wing, oh, well, I get to pick my upgrade. You know, do I have a torpedo on the ship? Do I not? Well, just imagine if when you're picking your weapons, those are also the same things that customize your dial. And so there's sort of a deck builder element almost to your moves,
right,
as well as to your shots. And so it's like, I know I found myself, and it was the starter
kind of painted yourself into a corner.
Yeah, I was like, oh, only one of these turn around.
Yep.
And I spent it.
Yep.
I guess I can't turn around. So that I have to spend this other card so that I can get my turnaround back so that I can then turn around. And it was kind of cool, but you know, it was like kind of
it was tough to think about.
I was like,
no one.
I kind of drifted off into a corner of the map because I didn't know what I was doing.
Happened to me. I just kind of come back and fight.
Yeah.
That game was pretty cool looking. There's been a lot of aerial combat games I've played over the years, and I think it was a good combination of complexity and streamlined movement. Mm-hmm. I've played like the ultra crunchy one called Check Your Six, which has uses D&D dice to reflect the various calibers of the guns that you could be shooting at each other, all the way from light machine gun to heavy cannon, D4 to D20.
Oh, wow.
So like a D20 could just blow apart a heavy bomber if you roll a 20
in
a single hit, one bullet, whereas a light machine gun will just plink, plink, plink away and not even hurt most things. Mm-hmm. So like that's all hilarious. These, and then you have a chart and use a grease pen. And, you know, it's just, wow, so complicated.
Yeah.
And then there's the card flipping one, which some claim is the origin of X-Wing, called Wings of War was the first one.
Wings
of Glory, yeah.
Wings of Glory is the World War II version. Wings of War is a World War I version. Gotcha. I thought the ships were, or the planes were really cool, but the card aspect of it was clunky. You would have to, and you'd
they
have to plan.
The template. Idea.
Yeah, it was just these smaller size playing cards that you'd have to stack in front of your little base, and it didn't have anything like grooves and nubs for you to actually figure it out. You had to kind of like pick
just
it up and lift it and eyeball it and set it down and get it right in the little nook of the printed card. It was odd. And then you also had to plan two turns ahead, not one, so that made it really hard to try and figure out what the hell you're doing. It was really easy to overshoot and miss.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a punishing game, but it was the precursor for X-Wing many claim.
I think it was for sure, but it was
not as good.
A lot of improvements
in my opinion.
Well, it's streamlined. Yeah, I think X-Wing made it.
The dice made it more fun, and the grooves and the templates made it great.
Yeah,
in my opinion, the dials and the grooves and the template just made it
cardboard templates
so easy. Right. Yeah. And it's meant to be played with not like one-on-one, you know, Red Baron versus whoever. It's, you know, it's not a thinking game in a one-on-one ship battle. It's like a 3-6 on a side. Right. Yeah. That's what X-Wing was always supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I thought it did really well. And it still does. It's just not quite the game it was.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, I hope AMG can keep it rolling for a little bit longer.
Surprise announcement at Worlds.
We'll see. Maybe we'll do the podcast
again.
We've
been saving all our money for this moment.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Bring your beer budget. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, I sometimes think, like, is there going to be a continuation project if AMG decides to shut it down? And I bet you there will be for a time. Who runs it, I think, really depends on how good they are at it. You know, if you get...
Right.
A guy like this, what is his name? Greg?
Greg.
Yeah. Like he could run a lot of the online tournaments and people could get the points in order.
I mean, there's still a 2.0 group out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hear that they've kind of made some weird decisions, but.
Right, exactly. So that's, I mean.
Lo and behold, gamers making weird decisions.
So has the actual company.
So I don't know.
True.
Depends on their level of confidence versus incompetence.
That's
where the rub hurts the road, in my opinion.
There's games that live on. I mean, the challenge is always attrition over time. Because,
Without new stuff.
Without new stuff and without, like, you know, frankly, to the marketing and advertising arm of a
I totally agree without that, but here's the thing. People can and will print 3D print just about anything that that Disney comes up with that you could fly, and Disney can't really stop them. People are going to be able to print those things, and people can print cards and dials and call it whatever they want, and no one can really stop them. So people can kind of do what they want. I'm not advocating for that.
Let
me make that clear. But I'm just saying that those types of things can happen, and they can do it in a way that, like Yasby, it's just kind of continued for years and years, and mm-hmm. no one's really tried to shut it down. So, I mean, the idea that
that's possible.
The idea that people want to put spaceships from Star mm-hmm. Wars on a board and move them around and shoot stuff is yeah. gonna like that's a persistent idea.
Yeah, and I mean, with consolidation in the industry, like, I mean, I kind of would advocate for it almost. Like, I feel like Embracer Group does not need your money.
Right, and then there's a hybrid model too, which that the AMG Corporation or its successors could simply say, we have the license and we're going to print these ships and we're going to release them to you, and then the public is going to do whatever they want with the rules and print out the packages for you to bring your ships to, or some sort of website or whatever, and then they can still sell product and they don't have to worry about that, you know, all those pesky rules and balancing and yeah. having ideas that make sense, figuring out how the game is actually played and enjoyed by the players.
They already don't have to worry about those things.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, parent and child are still going to want to see spaceships from Star Wars in the hobby store.
Yeah.
There's no reason that can't stop happening, and it couldn't include a base and a peg.
See what happens.
Y'all figure it out from there.
What happens.
This is a ways off yet, but I don't think that far off yet. Like, I still do wonder what, like, the future marketing strategy is, because it seems like, especially if your business model is like plastic spaceships,
right,
like having those manufactured in China and shipped, like, when you can print them literally from your own house
and paint them however you want.
And it just seems like that's a tough sell for the future.
Yeah, it is, unless you go the GW route and you just basically have the best plastic molding technology on the planet to make the highest detailed models imaginable.
Which are incredible. And absolutely. But then it's a hobby. I guess there's still always going to be a market for that too. But it's,
that's right. Tamiya Models in Japan has like ultra high definition models that you can buy for your Gundam and for your Yamato battleship or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Right, but like, I guess the thing. The point I was making though is, like, regardless of the strength of the model itself, like, the game does not require that. Like, the game is just
a few numbers
on a sheet of paper, basically.
Yeah. Like, and some dice and templates that everyone already has extras of.
Right.
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 Guys, anything else?
Good.
Let's try and do this again.
Chicago,
and good luck at Worlds, both of you.
Thank you.
I hope you have a real fun time.
Thank you. Yeah.